Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Westcon Engineers Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundararajan, Group CEO from Westcon Engineers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Westcon for the fourth quarter full year ended March.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, no, sir. It's breaking, sir.
Hello, is it now?
Yeah, sir, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Westcon Engineers for the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31, 2024. Today, joining me on call is Mr. Somnath, our CFO, and our investor relations team, Stella Investors. I hope you have gone through the Q4 and full year results and the presentations uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. During the year, our overall revenue remained flat as compared to the previous financial year, which we have already mentioned in our past calls as well, which was largely on account of real estate division, where most of the projects were completed in the first half of last year. The new projects are work in progress and expected to contribute in the current fiscal. However, on the EPC front, the execution momentum continued its increased pace with revenue growth of about 9% year-on-year and 14% year-on-year in Q4 FY 2024. Our outlook for the EPC segment continues to stand strong, backed by a strong order book of 3,365 crore, which is about five times our EPC revenue for the last year. Out of these orders, 230 crore are external EPC orders, 8 crore are in. About orders.
I'm so sorry, sir. Your voice is breaking again. Should I reconnect you, sir, again?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll start again from the previous sentence I was talking about. Our outlook for the EPC segment continues to stand strong, backed by a strong order book of 3,365 crore, which is five times the current EPC revenue. Out of these orders, rupees 2,838 crore are external EPC orders, while the remaining 527 crore are internal. About 80% of these orders are from government projects, ensuring quicker execution and steady cash flows. In terms of order intake, we have won EPC orders worth 1,800 crore in this year, which is the highest ever for the company. This comprises of about 200 crore from Bridge and Roof Company India at Kanker, Chhattisgarh, about 299 crore from Jharkhand State Building Corporation for a hospital at Koderma, about order of 514 crore from Bihar Medical Services for a medical college and hospital at Supaul, from PMC for a construction on Moshi, totaling to 357 crore, and also a Capgemini order for a construction of an IT park in Chennai of 416 crore. Our bank guarantee limits have increased in the last fiscal, led by our strong balance sheet and financials, and with this, we are looking forward to continuing growth in the EPC division. Coming to the real estate segment, market is looking promising for us. With several of our projects now complete, we are optimistic about our business prospects in the coming years. In addition to our primary real estate business, we are in the process of forming partnerships with A-grade top realtors based in Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore, aiming to establish a steady stream of new property and project launches in the coming year. Within the real estate sector, we have effectively rolled out one redevelopment project in FY 2024, and we are currently preparing to introduce two additional projects in the coming months. New sales booking in FY 2024 stood at 108,578 sq ft, with a total sales value of 100 crore and a total collection of 127 crore this year. During FY 2024, our real estate revenue sales stood at 57 crore and an EBITDA of rupees 21 crore. Gross margin came in at 66%, while EBITDA margin was 36%. We are very optimistic about sustaining the positive movement in the real estate sector, given the promising pipeline of projects ahead. Lastly, coming to the GMP business, GMP continues to deliver improved performance throughout the year, and we expect this momentum to continue in the coming quarters. Revenue of 289 crores in FY24, which is up 15% year-on-year, and a healthy gross margin of 28%. The EBITDA was 21 crores and with 7% EBITDA margin in FY24. The status on our debt. This fiscal year, we have seen our total debt go up because we are involved in new real estate joint ventures, and we have put money in bid bond commitments and earnest money deposits for new EPC orders. As a result, our net debt has risen to 86 crores. Even with this increase, we are committed to careful financial management and are focused on sustainable growth and creating value. As I've mentioned about the rating upgrade throughout FY24, I would like to reiterate again that our company, CRISIL, has upgraded our credit rating to CRISIL BBB+ for long-term and CRISIL A2 for short-term facilities. This upgrade has played a crucial role in negotiating favorable interest rates in the company's favor. We are also hopeful to continue this increase in rating as we go forward this year. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q4 FY24. Let me start with the standalone. During Q4 FY24, the company reported a total income of 241 crores as against 251 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. EBITDA stood at rupees 26 crores as against 46 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The EBITDA margin was at 11% and we reported a net profit of rupees 15 crore in Q4 FY24 as against 41 crores in Q4 FY23. At a consolidated level, the Q4 FY24, the company reported total income of 350 crores as against 335 crores last year with a year-on-year 4% growth. The EBITDA stood at 32 crores with the EBITDA margin was at 9% against rupees 58 crores in Q4 FY23. And the net profit of 17 crores in Q4 FY24 as against 50 crores in Q4 FY23. To summarize our strategic initiatives at dividing growth, we have made significant progress on our key projects. Our strong order backlog, real estate backlog, and solid financial position reinforce our confidence in achieving our goals for the rest of the year. Looking ahead, we remain committed to delivering excellence and creating value for our shareholders, clients, and employees. We are excited about the opportunities in the market, and we are well positioned to capitalize on them with our innovative solutions and dedicated team. With this, we can now open up the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants, we request you to allow two questions. If the participants will have more questions, they can rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Can you speak a little louder, sir?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, now it's back to...
So I had a few questions. In case of our building management system, there has been quite good growth in the revenues of nearly 15%. But the profitability has taken a big hit. Can you explain what led to it? And secondly, we are seeing commodity prices are skyrocketing. So what impact will it have on the business?
Yes, so the commodity prices in GMP business, what happens is it's a very short-term turnover business. So in the interim short-term, if there is an increase in commodity prices, it definitely directly affects the profit. Sometimes we get the reverse cycle also where, depends on the date we have taken the contract. On those days, if the price drops temporarily for a while also, we gain profit. So because they have to execute and finish their contracts within a period of, 2 to 3 months, they normally do not have clauses protecting them for these rates.
Okay, so, but what about the profitability which has taken a big hit?
So we have been, EBITDA level for the company has been sort of consistent over the 2 years. It's not a major hit as such, I would say. We are still talking of what is the GMV EBITDA? Yeah, so from 25 crores, it has come down to 21 crores, the EBITDA of the company.
Okay. So my second question is, the inflation is becoming sticky, and eventually the cost of labor will also increase, and some projects will get delayed, which is the nature of EPC business. So how are you preparing for future risk, which never gets spoken of in good times, but at bad times, will it have a very big impact?
You're right. I mean, see, end of the day, you know, it's a very tough question to answer. We are in this carrying risk on a daily basis. Every risk cannot be 100% mitigated. You know, there is a price which the competition in the market forces us to take jobs at. Having said that, see, we focus on government projects where the escalation is factored in based on index. So in such projects, what happens is even most of those projects, even the labor index is covered, because there is a formula for every rupee that is spent. So, you know, there is a formula to cover for the major materials like steel and cement, and then there is a formula to cover for miscellaneous things, and there's also a formula to cover for labor. So, generally, we will get covered if it gets paid over a long period and labor prices go up during this period. There is a cover that we get in government projects. In private projects, for example, the Capgemini project that we have currently taken, we have cover, and the subcontracting, like the MEP work, but we do not have a direct cover for labor escalation. We are supposed to execute this job within 24-30 months. If there is a delay from the client side, which leads us to, you know, prolong this beyond the scheduled contract period, I am sure we will have to put it up and negotiate with the client at that time. It is not contractually available today. But if we finish this within 2-2.5, we have factored in the kind of escalation we expect in labor during this period.
Okay, and my last question, then I'll join back in the queue. So any thoughts on taking only those projects which we have high confidence that that they will get completed in less than 3 years only, or we can avoid which take more than 3 years for completion?
No, absolutely. I mean, that is what our endeavor always is by choosing the kind of projects and client. For example, I mean, if you look at our order book that we've taken, we're taking hospitals from the government. Hospitals generally, you know, have their funds allocated. Now, these are all in the range of, you know, 300-500 crores. So these are not huge projects, whereby the government, you know, initiates these projects without having a full view on the funding. They generally set aside the funds for this and then float the tender. So we are aware that most of these.
Hello. So your line is breaking, so hello.
Am I audible?
Now it's audible, so.
So can you please repeat what you said, because your line got.
Yeah, sure. So I'm saying, we try to choose our client to avoid risk of a project getting stalled in between. We, for example, taken hospital projects from government, and these projects are all less than 500 crores. So at this level, we have seen that the government generally doesn't wait for various meetings to allocate budgets in interim format. They generally allocate the entire budget in one meeting, and then the project is floated. So most of these projects that we have taken, we are aware through our sources internally that the funding is available, and therefore they are generally not linked to even political risks or funding risks as their hospital projects. Similarly, Capgemini, for example, you know, they are only going to see revenue coming out of this facility when it is completed. So when they have finally decided to make a CapEx on this, they have definitely set aside the funds. They will be in a hurry to finish it, and so we do not see any reason why the project should get stalled from their side in terms of funding. So we are very careful to try and see the quality of the project or the clientele to, you know, ensure that hopefully we don't have a project risk of it getting stalled.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranodeep Sen from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. wanted to understand, and I'm referring to the Capgemini deal that we bagged for 416 crores. There are reports which say that almost 500 plus GCCs are slated to come to India in the next 2 years. From a business development perspective, is this a sector that we are targeting, and are we approaching this sector where we can set up plug and play offices for some of these GCCs coming to India?
Yes, 100%. So we've been maintaining that, you know, we want a good mix of private and government. We have been a bit too skewed towards government off late, which has been good for us. But, you know, at the same time, as we rightly said, you know, in good days, everything is good. We should be prepared with a good diversified portfolio when we approach the next few years. And it is our endeavor to, you know, have at least 30-35% exposure to private, if not more, maybe a 60-40 mix is our target over the next 2 years. Now, in private, the best kind of clients we would have is either trusts who are, you know, again, building hospitals or building institutes, because again, they have their funding in place, or industries, because again, they are, you know, it's a capex and their revenue will only start after completion, or IT parks or, you know, corporate offices like this, like we've done for Capgemini, and as you rightly mentioned, the MNCs and GCCs that are going to be putting up in India, or data centers. These are all projects where, you know, once a company decides to invest, they will be after our back to finish it ASAP, because they are going to earn revenue from it only after it is completed. And I think those are the kind of private projects we would want to be focused on. And so, yes, to answer your question, we would definitely be looking at this Capgemini project to restart our private order book growth.
Sure, appreciate that. My next question was, I think there's a big data center boom happening in India at this juncture, right? And if I have to marry that point with our land of almost 150 acres that we have, and I believe 70 acres is Vascon's share, are we looking at monetizing that land parcel with any data center project? Are either we tying up with the project experts or selling the land? So what is our thought on the Thane land, given it's the boom period right now for data centers, and Mumbai happens to be the data center capital of India?
No, so see, the Thane land, you know, every possible real estate that you think of will work on that Thane land. It's not just data centers. Warehousing can work, residential can work. You know, it's a very good location. And so there is no dearth of real estate options to explore on that land. As we've been saying, at the current stage, there is a separate team that is working on it to see how best we can monetize in bits and pieces, how best we can amalgamate. We are starting to fence certain areas of that land and, you know, start trying to generate revenue. As I said, a good portion of it is also part of the corridor the government is planning to build. And so we will have to, you know, give our land off, which is also not a bad deal. They will be giving us decent, you know, prices, better than the Ready Reckoner. So all of these things are happening there. It's a huge parcel. We can do data centers plus residential plus warehousing plus sell some to the government as well. But this is again not a very short-term thing. It's a medium-term target for the company to milk the 70 acres that we hold over there.
Sure. My last question, sir. I think last 2023-2024 probably saw the biggest year from a real estate stock point of view, and I think there were multiple listed players who came out with record numbers for their SSL projects, which came out and it sold like hot. Have we missed out on this big rally from the residential perspective by being too focused on the government project EPC side? And are we and what are our plans, at least in the near future, to kind of galvanize and play a catch up?
So I'll answer in two parts. Have we missed out on this opportunity? Yes, definitely. If we had more projects in hand and if our real estate growth story was, you know, 2 years ahead of what it is, we would have had a lot more square feet. We've only sold, you know, 1,10,000 square feet last year, which is a very small amount for our brand. And we could have sold a lot more if we had those kind of inventory lined up, which we didn't. So have we missed out? Yes, definitely. Is it because we are focused on government EPC? No, because we have two separate divisions. The growth of the EPC division is not at the cost of the growth of the real estate division. We have separate bandwidth, separate teams focusing on both of these. EPC was easier to trigger off over the last 3-4 years because it's less capital intensive, and we have our pre-qualifications in place. We've got our bank limit growing, and so it has been easier to sort of push the EPC story ahead first. The real estate story is a bit capital intensive, and it takes time. Gestation periods are there, approval periods are there for these projects. So I would say that we are at a very high level of potential that we are now unleashing on the real estate side, which we will see in the next 2 years. So have we missed out on the last year's fantastic real estate numbers that many of our peers have given? Yes. Unfortunately, yes, because we didn't have enough inventory.
All right. Appreciate your honest responses and wishing you all the best for the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from Inox Q Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my question. So in the presentation somewhere, it stated that you have the capability to do 8 million square feet, and right now you're operating at 3.7, and which is at 90% capacity. So can you explain that?
I'm sorry
to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking, so. No, sir, it's not clear.
Please reconnect.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Yeah, so for the last 3 years, that the capability in terms of top management as well as assets that we hold, our internal company bandwidth to deliver about 1,000 crores of EPC. And we were doing 300 crores 2 years ago, then we've jumped to 600, 700 crore levels currently. So we are performing at 70%. We will touch 1,000 crores in the coming year, which will be our current potential in terms of CAPEX requirement for asset and senior level bandwidth. After the next year, we will grow. We will have to, there is no reason why we can't grow beyond that. It is just that we will have to incur certain CAPEX to augment assets.
Can we translate this 1,000 crore in million square feet? Or
so the prices, yeah, you can see, you can divide by, 2,000. What happens is, each project of ours is a different scope. Some of them are only the concrete shell scope, which can, it will be worth about 1200 rupees a square feet. Some projects are, like the hospital projects are including all the MEP work, the Capgemini project is including everything. So these projects, even go to 4000, 5000 rupees a square feet. So the entire spectrum of work that we do can range between 1000 rupees to 5000 rupees a square feet in terms of EPC. So we can do 1000 crores. On an average, if you take 2,500 rupees, as the average price per square feet, then you can calculate the square feet potential.
So when we say that 3.7 million square feet is under operation, approximately 1,000 crore is under execution at this time, right?
Currently, our order backlog is 3,500 crores, no? So all of that is under execution.
No, I'm referring one slide where it is stated they're currently operating at 3.7 million square feet.
Yeah.
Just to clear that ambiguity, what you are talking about, probably there is some kind of anomaly in the language or some kind of communication understanding. What we are talking about, whatever the current asset base we are having, we have the equipment, plant, and machinery, and all these things. Whatever the current asset base we are having, that is operating at 90% level, which translates to close to 3.7. So this asset base is capable of doing 4 million square feet per year. So in terms of the delivery, but what we are talking about, our bandwidth, senior management bandwidth and other bandwidth is very capable enough to double it up. But for that, we need additional capex, additional fixed asset to be infused in the system. So for that, we don't need additional management bandwidth is not required. So that is the communication we want to make it. So obviously, there will be good amount of capex will be required to scale up to 8 million. But with this bandwidth, we can scale up to that level. So that is the point we try to make it.
Thank you. But can you tell me the CapEx amount needs to be spent?
Sorry?
What would be the CapEx amount?
This year we do not need CapEx in that sense. Next year, for the additional growth beyond 1,000 crores, if you're looking to, you know, do 250 crores additional, which would be our target for next year, we would need about, you can say about 8% to 10% of that as a CapEx investment. So about 20 crores would be a guesstimate of CapEx required next year, not this fiscal year.
Not this year. Okay. Now, coming to the question on the rating upgrade, what is the likely reduction in interest rate? Is it likely to be 20 to 25 basis points? And when will it start flowing? Will it start flowing from Q2?
It's very difficult to say, because the RBI policy and all these things, it keeps on swinging ups and downs. So bank is also following the same policy, but currently we are more or less very, very much in the optimal level. I cannot say that we are at the optimal level, but very close to the optimal level what we are operating. But depending upon the banking policy, whether 0.25 basis point ups and downs, it will keep on impacting our cost of capital. But we are not seeing significant drop in the cost of capital, to be very honest with you.
Okay. Now, the next question is any enhancement in BG limit which will enable us to bid more? What is the expectation for intake for the current year linked to BG limit?
Yeah, we are significantly done with the BG limit.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking, so can you just repeat, please?
Can you hear me now clearly?
I can.
Yes.
So basically, if you look in last assessment also, our BG limit has been augmented by almost 100 corporate consortium. And beyond consortium, for the consortium, we also got a sanction of 200 crore BG multiple banking. So we are fairly placed in terms of the BG requirement for next year growth is concerned. But yes, we are continuing this enhancement within the consortium, outside the consortium. Sometimes it is happening that deal is much sweeter in outside consortium rather than being in the consortium. So we are working in tandem, which is a better mix for us. So we are opting both the options, enhancement within the consortium and enhancement outside consortium also.
So the last question, what is the building pipeline and what is the expected intake targeted this year?
Order?
Yes.
Yeah, so for this year, see, we are currently at 3,500 crore roughly order backlog, and we intend to extinguish about 1,000 crores of that, which will bring us down to 2,500 crore as an order backlog that would remain. And we want to start April 2025 with an order backlog of 4,000 crores. Only that will keep our growth story alive. So for that, the mathematics says that we have an order booking target of about 1,500 crores by April 2025. And we are confident that we'll be able to achieve that. As Somnath said, the bank guarantee limits for that are more or less in place. So now it is a matter of, you know, waiting for the elections to pan through and then pick and choose project where we can bid and, you know, hopefully achieve the target.
And with the current cost escalation, anything, any impact on order book margin, or will it remain above 11-12% as we had initially bidded for?
No, the order book margin should remain same. As I said, you know, most of our escalations are covered for us contractually. So, whatever little bit is not covered, we have factored into our costing. So, you know, general small inflation, regular inflation should not eat into our order book, into our profitability. So, I think we are safe on that front at this point of time.
So, fairly sustainable.
Sorry?
12% is sustainable margin for the current order.
Yes.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Virgo Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had a question. We had only one launch in FY24 and we seem confident of 5 launches in the last phone call. Can you give in what stages of approval are these 5 projects? Also, in any project contingent on our giving capital through rights, or they will get launched irrespective of it?
Yeah, so we have, see, two we have two redevelopments in Santa Cruz. One of them is, you know, as good as launched, as in we've got the, we are at the last stage of getting approvals, so that will get launched officially anytime. The second one, the agreement has been registered, and we are putting in the plans for approval, so that will, you know, take about 4-5 months. And that can also be launched very much in this financial year. The third project in Mumbai is at Powai, which is also in a stage of, you know, where the plans are already in BMC, and we are awaiting approval. So once the approvals come, that will also be launched within the next 5 to 6 months. So these three projects are, you know, at a stage where definitely we'll be launching. The other project we talked about in our presentation, is a project in Baner in Pune, which is at a very nascent stage in relatively speaking, in that we have not yet put the plans in for approval. We are still closing out the contracts with the landowner. And so that hopefully by the end of the year, the second or fourth quarter of the year, we may be in a position to, you know, launch that project.
So any of the projects are contingent on raising capital?
So all of these projects, when launched, will need capital. So we had, you know, for Santa Cruz, for the Bombay project, we had gone ahead with a QIP requirement in the market, which currently is very much, you know, in line, and we should be hopefully doing it in the next few months. But in the meantime, there are other sources of funding, so the project launches will not get stalled if we have to temporarily borrow or if we have to, you know, get private equity, if the QIP is getting delayed. We anyway had our plan A in place, so the project will get launched.
So, we have a large commercial project Tower of Future of nearly 1 million sq ft construction. Will we bear the complete construction expense? How will be the value of construction, and will we pay for construction from our revenue share?
No, so see, there is a partner there who is a profit-sharing partner, so all costs will be shared at the company level. So whatever we have given in our presentation would be our share of revenue, and you can expect 30%, 35% easily gross margins on our share of revenue.
Okay. And sir, will we pay from the construction from our revenue share, or will be the partner will be paying?
As I said, it'll all be partnership, and it's profit sharing. So we will pay for our share of construction.
Okay. And so we have seen a large number of residential project launches by large reputed builders across the geographies, but we have not seen residential projects in our order book. Can you share your thoughts out here?
Yeah, so we haven't, as I said, we in some ways have missed out on the boom of last year. We do not have enough inventory in residential to have sold. But currently, we have launched the phase three of Coimbatore, where we have residential inventory. Katvi, we are finishing the first lot, and we will be launching the second part of it and taking that forward. Santa Cruz project and Powai are also residential. So in fact, only the Baner one, which we just spoke about, 1 million sq ft Tower of the Future, is the only commercial inventory that we will be bringing up in this coming year. The rest are all residential launches. That is going to be launched.
Okay. Okay, so thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Kunal Bihani from HVPL. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. Sir, I am just looking at the results. On a consolidated basis, the real estate revenue has seen a large drop. So any specific projections for the current year, FY 2024-2025, in that sense, specifically for real estate? Any projections would help.
So I don't want to state my account and quote the number because I think that's not correct.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yes, the drop as compared to last year, it is quite envisaged drop, as because from day one, we kept on saying that there will be a drop in the real estate number, as because we don't have any significant completion this year. So we always kept on communicating the same thing. So it is not a surprise for us. But at the same time, yes, we cannot exactly project the number, as because real estate is subject to the completion, but we are investing at least 1 to 2 project completion, and accordingly it's a new commission, and both in the top line and bottom line we are expecting in the next financial year.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. Next question is, given that elections are over in a lot of states, I think we are in phase 4 or phase 5, any uptick in activity in terms of tendering or contracting which we have seen, specific to any state? I mean, I've been hearing cases where, you know, the projects, like in Maharashtra, for example, now that the elections are over, a good in the pipeline and government is now active all of a sudden.
There are many projects which were at various stages of bidding, which some of them, once the elections are over, you know, their Acha Charita is over, and so they start acting on those. So yes, definitely as the elections finish, because for about 20-30 days pre-elections, you know, a lot of pent-up work remains pending, they do not act on it. So the moment the election is over in a particular constituency or a state, they are free to act on certain pending decisions, which happens. So yes, we are also seeing that, you know, some of these tenders are now getting floated or opened for bid. But we expect much more activity to happen, you know, a month from now when the results are out and the stability in terms of new government formation is all over.
Okay, and so my last question would be, any guidance on the EBITDA margin, either at a segment level or at an overall company level for the current year?
So we should improve, definitely. I'll tell you, the if you look at our three divisions, EPC, Real Estate and GMP, at the PBT level, eventually the least contribution in terms of percentage is coming from GMP, and then the EPC division. In terms of percentage, the highest contribution comes from the Real Estate division. And this year, we've had no contribution of top line from the Real Estate, no significant contribution. Next year, we expect, you know, much higher contributions from the Real Estate division, and therefore that will pull up our EBITDA, our PBT as well. And we also expect the EPC division to improve its, you know, EBITDA as well as PBT by, you know, at least 1 to 1.5 basis points, if not 2 basis points, because the top line will improve. And so the scale will come in, and we hope to improve that. So next year, we should definitely be significantly better on our margin percentages.
Okay, got it. And sorry, one last question, if I may. There was one comment to a participant question around a revenue of 1,000 CR from 700 CR. For which year was it, and for which specific segment?
The EPC, third party EPC division has done 700 CR this year, the past year, that is ending March 24. And ending March 25, we expect to take this to 1,000.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajendra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. All my questions have been answered. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prince Sony, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is on the overall business mix. So as we see, our approximately 80% of business comes from the government-led project. So, right, do you think a change in the current ruling party would impact our Westcon business?
So, that's a very tough question to answer. Most of our projects are, you know, slightly smaller than what would be significantly influenced by the party at the center. We are not of the scale of, you know, the L&T or, you know, at that level. So most of the projects we take are through agencies or, you know, state governments or various nodal agencies, government departments in the sub-500 range. So point number one, the projects that we already have in hand, we do not expect any problem for any of those projects, no matter what happens in the election. Point number two, going forward, in terms of new projects that is being lined up, I mean, see, anybody's guess on, you know, what which government is getting formed and what kind of impetus they want to give to which industry. But having said all that, I do not think a company of our size will have, you know, significant effects because of what happens at the center. I think our target for the next 2-3 years will remain intact.
I'm sure there'll be enough projects of that kind for us to keep bagging orders.
Okay, sir. So, sir, my next question is about on the, if the real estate segment is growing, like, so is there any plan to go somewhere in Delhi NCR or somewhere as another cities?
No, no, no. As of now, you know, I mean, we're very cautious on real estate. EPC, we are nomadic. We'll go wherever we see a good project coming up. Real estate, at least for the next 1 year, our target is Mumbai, Coimbatore, Pune, and nowhere else.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Last two questions are from my side. So one observation we said that we choose QIB versus...
A little louder, please.
One observation we said that we choose QIB versus rights issue as it will lead to new large investors come into the company and they will start tracking the company. Just a thought, companies which don't raise capital are the most favorable for large reputed investors. If we look at our peer Ahluwalia contracts, 25% is owned by mutual funds and 13% by FIIs, and they have not raised capital in the last 10 years. As the company did good large investor, did good large investors join the bandwagon, our promoter stake is low. Any thoughts on that side to raise the stakes?
So, see, you have to look at the history of the company to, you know, put this question into perspective. Just a peer comparison, unfortunately, doesn't help. Our company was not formed whole and soul by our promoters when it was born. It was never 100% owned by them. It was only 25% owned by them and 75% owned by other angel investors right from the beginning. And so, as we have grown, in fact, that 25% holding by the promoters has now gone, you know, it went up to 38, gets diluted when we raise capital once in a while. It is in the range of 30 plus. You know, I do not see how our promoters will be able to increase their stake significantly given the company size and the investments required. You know, it takes money to raise their stakes. And so most of the other companies, what happens is they start with 100% promoter ownership and then those stakes come down and you still have a decent promoter ownership. Our company's past history has been different. So if you compare to the peers, our promoter ownership will always look much lower. And I think we are indifferent to that. I don't think that, you know, raises any problems for us to function. We are professional. We have a board. We have a proper management. And so the promoter ownership, whatever it is not a significant contribution to any of our growth stories or our profitabilities or our endeavor to, you know, pay back to our shareholders.
And to answer your thought also, actually to compare with Ahluwalia is not a fair
comparison. I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking, sir. Sorry. We have connected with the management line. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I think Somnath's point also was in comparison with Ahluwalia. He is not in this state. And we, you know, need to raise capital a bit more than him because of our real estate vision. EPC generally is less capital intensive.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And one more last question, sir. So in your portfolio, are there any slow-moving large projects?
Slow-moving in terms of EPC? No, not really. All our order book at different threshold is running full speed.
Oh, sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to the Dr. Santosh Sundarajan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, everyone, for the interest in the company and the continued faith in the company. This year has been a bit flat compared to last year, but we always knew this and we've always been projecting this over the last few quarters. And we've also always been saying that the coming year, March 25, is going to be again big year for the company in terms of growth in EPC and real estate, and we are better poised for that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to keep, you know, project much better than us in the next 4 quarters. And thank you and see you all again next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Vascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.